Imagine meeting someone who shares your exact birthday. Not just the date, but the same hospital, same year. For successful podcaster Alex Summer, this chance encounter with Josie Fair in a pub bathroom feels like a mildly interesting coincidence. For plain, unassuming Josie, it feels like destiny. When they meet again outside their children's school, Josie seems desperate to connect, eventually proposing an unusual podcast concept. Instead of interviewing women who've already transformed their lives, Alex's usual format, why not document someone about to change their life? Josie hints at dark secrets in her 30-year marriage to Walter, a man 27 years her senior, whom she met when she was just 15. The premise intrigues Alex's journalistic instincts. Unlike her polished, successful previous subjects, Josie represents something raw and authentic, a woman trapped in stasis, ready to break free. I'd probably tell 13-year-old me to run for the hills and not look back, Josie admits during one recording session, her eyes suddenly sharp as she reflects on meeting Walter. What begins as professional curiosity soon becomes something more complex as Alex invites Josie into her recording studio, her home, and ultimately her life. The birthday connection that initially seemed charming gradually transforms into something sinister, a carefully calculated entry point that Josie has seized upon to infiltrate Alex's perfectly curated world. Walter Fair emerges as a complex figure whose true nature remains elusive. Initially presented through Josie's testimony as a predatory older man who groomed her as a teenager, Walter appears to embody the classic abuser. "I was 14 years old when I realized Walter wanted me," Josie tells Alex. "It was like an invisible monster in the room." Yet when Walter appears at Alex's dinner party, he contradicts this image, a nondescript, balding, faded, bespectacled man whom Alex had mistaken for Josie's father. Walter claims Josie has an elastic relationship with the truth and creates her preferred reality when disappointed. The complexity deepens when Roxy reveals Walter wasn't the monster Josie portrayed, but rather a protector who supported Aaron's gaming career. What seemed like clear predatory behavior becomes increasingly murky. This ambiguity serves as the novel's central theme. Truth is subjective, malleable, and distorted by our personal lenses. Walter may be both victim and villain, just as Josie may be both perpetrator and prey. The Fair family's dysfunction unfolds through layers of trauma and hidden truths. We initially see Josie's daughters through others' eyes. Mandy describes Roxy as wild and oppositional, while Aaron was the sweetest thing, but possibly on the autism spectrum. The story reveals Josie's shocking neglect of Aaron, confessing to Alex that for months she's merely left pureed baby food outside her daughter's bedroom door, unable to enter despite the growing squalor. "I just get to the door and I can't do it," Josie admits. Roxy presents a contradictory view, portraying her mother as pathologically jealous and sick in the head, resentful of any relationships her daughters formed. Most disturbing is the suggestion that Josie may be responsible for Roxy's girlfriend Brooke's disappearance, which she had blamed on Walter. This family portrait illustrates how secrets fester within homes, how abuse wears many faces, and how family narratives both reveal and conceal truth. The Fairs serve as a dark reflection of Alex's own struggles, suggesting the line between functional and dysfunctional families is dangerously thin. Throughout the novel, we witness the human tendency to covet others' lives, peering through windows, both literal and metaphorical, into seemingly better existences. When Josie first visits Alex's home, she's struck by its beauty, the ink-blue walls, golden lights, and marble countertops. She contrasts how Walter would remove their daughter's artwork from the fridge for looking messy, while Alex's home proudly displays children's art on an entire wall. Josie's envy extends beyond possessions to relationships, coveting Alex's sisterly bonds who arrive with laughter and warmth that Josie deeply envies. She begins stealing small items from Alex's home, a Nespresso pod, a teaspoon, hand soap, treating them like talismans that might transfer Alex's charmed life to her own. Walking home, Josie's head spins as she reflects on the stark contrast between their lives. Her envy transforms into determination to infiltrate Alex's life. Meanwhile, she becomes a consummate lurker, scrolling through Alex's curated Instagram of kitchen islands, redheaded children on beaches, cocktails, and cats. The novel unflinchingly examines maternal failure through several characters. Josie exemplifies extreme neglect, leaving pureed food outside Aaron's door for months without checking, despite the growing smell. When Alex worries about Aaron walking alone at 3 a.m., Josie displays unsettling detachment rather than concern. Josie's jealousy toward her daughter's relationships is particularly disturbing. Roxy describes her mother as pathologically envious of anyone they cared about, including Brooke Ripley. Evidence suggests this jealousy may have led to violence, with Josie potentially responsible for Brooke's disappearance. Josie's mother, Pat O'Neill, represents another form of maternal failure. A self-described narcissist, Pat speaks of Josie with barely concealed loathing and admits being terrified by her newborn and feeling trapped by motherhood. Through these portraits, the novel challenges the romanticized notion that motherhood automatically creates selfless nurturers. As the novel progresses, it evolves into a meta-commentary on true crime entertainment and the ethics of transforming tragedies into consumable content. After Nathan's death, Alex creates a podcast from her recordings, revealing how personal trauma becomes commodified. Initially approaching Josie's story with journalistic curiosity, Alex pivots to the true crime angle after tragedy strikes, partnering with famous true crime podcaster Andrea Muse to create something completely unforgettable. The podcast achieves viral status, drawing contributions from Brooke Ripley's mother, Josie's school friend Helen, and Walter's son from Canada. This success leads to a Netflix adaptation titled, "Hi, I'm Your Birthday Twin," transforming an innocent greeting into something darkly ironic. Josie dismisses it as tacky true crime rubbish, a powerful indictment that addresses the core ethical dilemma. Can true crime ever be more than exploitation? Does its educational value justify its existence? The novel's most chilling aspect shows how easily strangers infiltrate our lives when we're vulnerable. Alex's relationship with Josie evolves dangerously, from professional meetings to inviting her into her home, introducing her to children, sharing marital problems, and eventually housing her after alleged abuse. This progression from acquaintance to confidant happens so gradually that Alex misses the mounting danger. Predators exploit social conventions, particularly around supporting other women. When Josie appears bloodied, Alex's compassion overrides her concerns about inconsistencies, compelling her to help despite growing doubts. Only after Nathan disappears does Alex comprehend the manipulation. "I was just a cog," she realizes, "and so was Nathan." She sees that Josie deliberately targeted them both, studying their routines and planning her intrusion. In our isolated society, where many crave connection and social media creates illusions of intimacy, the boundary between healthy connection and dangerous enmeshment blurs, making true discernment increasingly crucial.